Well, we've got that question, and we've got the question of, is the Buddha asking us just to believe something blindly? So let's investigate that. And how do we investigate that? Well, I want to investigate it by looking at vision. Primarily, none of this is intended as a philosophical teaching. It's not abstract. It's to do with an experience. It's the finger pointing at the moon, as the Zen people say. You've been pointed towards an experience that is attainable for yourself. And it's very interesting that in the early Buddhist texts, that experience isn't first expressed in terms of concepts. It's expressed in terms of visionary images. So I'm going to read you some visions in a little minute. I'm going to build the rest of the talk around two visions. One is the first couple of visions that the Buddha has when he gains enlightenment, just after the passage we read. And the second is from the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which is a far remove from early Buddhism, a completely different culture, a completely different time and approach to Buddhism. And I'm going to read some visions from the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which is also known as the Bardo Thodol. But first, I want to read something about the nature of vision itself. So this is an extract from a letter. And the letter is from an English poet called Ted Hughes. Sadly missed. It's very useful, I think, for approaching the sort of experience that the Buddha's trying to express, or that the texts are trying to express when they present a vision of the Buddha. So this is Ted Hughes. He's writing to a French student who's written to him to ask about his work. And he's talking about shamanism. There's no time to go into what shamanism is, etc., but this is what he says about shamans and their visions. I think the shamanistic phenomenon is basically the same as the phenomenon beside artistic creation of any kind. It's a universal human way of dealing with the difficulties of experience, the damages and pains of life. That being said, I think the following illustrates the basic psychological dynamics. He's referring in this next bit to a particular shaman called Ysdjigarjuk, who an explorer called Rasmussen evokes in his own book. So this is what Ysdjigarjuk does. When there's a problem to be solved in the group to which Ysdjigarjuk belongs, he leaves the group. He goes far out into the wilderness, isolates himself, and shuts himself in an improvised shelter to concentrate internally on making contact with the problem and its solution. He, Ysdjigarjuk, explained this saying, "I have to go far away from my people if I'm to see deeply into them." In other words, the further he goes into himself, the closer he comes to what is truly going on in his group or tribe. The deeper he goes inside, the more profoundly and clearly and truly he grasps what is outside, i.e. in his companions. That journey inward is an escape from the limitations of the social and divisive ego. A penetration into what is, as it turns out, the reality that everybody shares. This is very similar in a way to the Buddha. He goes off on his own. He goes forth into the holy life. Eventually he even leaves his friends and companions. And he goes off on his own and he sits under the tree and he figures it out. He looks inside and he looks inside deeply. And what he sees is something that pertains to everybody.